Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's a beautiful day. It's not raining. It's not too warm. We're very happy to have Debbie here this afternoon. She'll play for us as well as lead worship otherwise. So I'm going to ask you all to turn to page 367 in your hymnal. Stand and join us in our call to worship. Church in Wildwood.
Which is you.
together for the light. The light warms and fills our spirit, and it brings hope. For that kindly light and that invigorating hope, we praise you in deep gratitude. Amen.
Sweet the sound that
Anyone else?
73.
73.
It is well with my soul. First and last.
Yeah. I think we should mention that Debbie's ancestor wrote this song.
Wow.
Actually, a first cousin of my great-grandfather wrote this song. He wrote the just the tune, not the words. The words were written by his friend, Horatio. Horatio.
Prayers for
and we lift up to you all those who have been unable to join us. There are those, and many, whose families have been shaken by illness, bringing about stress and worry. We pray that a new day is dawning for anyone who is struggling with these health issues and worries. And we pray also that the family of everyone, especially the people who are sick and injured, will find relief and rest. For those in our community who are traveling, even in this sometimes very stormy weather, may they find safe harbor and the light of welcome wherever they are going. We pray for inner strength, resilience, and hope for all those who are in the process of making changes in their lives. For those who are bewildered by uncertainty and fears for the future, may they find comfort and clarity. We also praise you, O God, for this refreshing breeze of coolness that has come about. We know that it's time of harvest. Harvest not only of flowers, fruits, and vegetables, but also harvest of souls. And we pray that when we get that breeze, that it not be too strong, that it not be stronger than what we can live with. Thank you, God, for bringing us together and for uniting us in this spirit of prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we can now join ourselves and our voices in the ancient prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thank you. all things were created and are still being created. We offer you today a response to your abundant goodness. May you cause the seeds that we sow to grow into fruitful trees of life, and may they offer coolness, shelter, and good fruit to all those in need of these things. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Magic. Maybe.
Yes, it's magic. Praise God.
There's two readings today. The first is from the Old Testament of Kings 1, book 3, chapters 5 through 12, verses 5 through 12 of the New International Version. At Gideon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God had said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." The second scripture is Ephesians chapter 4 through 25 to 5, verse 2. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Do something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God."
Thank you, that was well read. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to thee, O God, my rock and my salvation. Why do you think that Solomon asked God for wisdom? Maybe because he knew that he really wasn't very wise. But nonetheless, it's interesting to me that he phrased it the way he did. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, "I am just like a little child, and here I have a big, important adult job to do. I'm just not equal to it." The fact that he was really humble in his asking makes me think that there was probably a trace of wisdom in him even before he asked for it. And that trace of wisdom, that humility, that down-to-earthness, is what I think the Old Testament is asking us to consider. For me, in my life, it has been very important to come to know myself humbly. Being 80 years old, as I am, I have come finally to the realization that I have an adult job to do, which I truly am not equal to all by myself. I am coming face to face with the recognition that I am just a child. 80 years old? Why, that's nothing. In humility, I need wisdom. And I need it badly. And there are so many times that wisdom escapes me. Oh, yes. In the depths of my thinking, I know that my experience of being called to do something that I'm afraid I can't do very well, this is what life is all about. As one writer I have read suggests, this is the full catastrophe, human life. Actually, the title of his book is The Full Catastrophe. And during this catastrophe, which is our human life, I believe that all of us face that same crossroads between humility and being able to do something. Maybe frequently, maybe even daily. When we've had a diagnosis that threatens our living the way we would have preferred, when we face a loss that knocks us off our feet, when things fall apart, when plans come awry, or even when something really positive and wonderful happens and we don't know how to handle it. I think that happened to me when I first became married. It was wonderful, but I wasn't sure how to handle it. These are things when we need to stop and say, I am just a child and I am not equal to this. That's when you begin to really know that you are a child and you have little understanding. And that's when you find that you are really well placed into a situation that calls you to ask God for wisdom, as Solomon did. One of the most well-known hymns that I think of, and I think you all know this one in the hymn book, it's the one with the title, In Times Like These. In times like these, you need a savior. And there is a line in the psalm, in the hymn, that says, in times like these, we need the Bible. And one of the things that I have been learning pretty late in life is that there is so much wisdom in there. And there it is, right there. It's one of the greatest of all spiritual gifts. Holy, in fact. That's why we call it the Holy Bible. It's holy. This morning, we have read a passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And there are so many parts of this letter that we can use in our effort to make our way through this catastrophe called human life. I'll mention a few of them. Verse 25. And by the way, the translation I'm using is slightly different from the one that we've used just now, but it's not that different. Verse 25. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. there is a solidarity here, a deep connection between us and our neighbors. That's why we're here. So deep is the connection, it is organic. When one suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoice. And when we speak to each other without pretension, we speak truthfully and we speak lovingly. There is just so much wisdom in that one short verse. Let us all speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. A whole way of life, a wise way of life, can be constructed around that one verse in the Bible. You know, in times ago, a long time ago, people often would memorize parts of the Bible. And I think it's a really good idea, actually. That one verse is so good, no matter what translation you use. Verse 26, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Okay, how many times have I failed to focus on this path of wisdom? But I have discovered the gate is open. All I have to do is just step through the open gate, and the pathway of wisdom is open to me, stretching out before me, opening up my life to something wonderful, something that takes the place of anger, something called peace. Again, a wise way of life. Verse 29, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up the faith, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Words, words, words. This verse invites us to use words that will build up other people, not tear down. When we can do this, and it takes an effort sometimes, it really does, but when we can do this, we not only are receivers of God's grace, but we are the conduit of God's grace to other people. We are not wise just in ourselves. We're not wise by going into a room and sitting by ourselves, but we shower wisdom on other people. You probably know somebody who does that. I do. I know quite a few. Honor that person who does that. Model yourself on that person. Because if you do that, you will be on the path of wisdom. Verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. This is about remembering your baptism. There is a story about Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther, the founder of Protestantism, that whenever he caught himself getting aggravated, which he often did, he had a really short temper. He found himself getting aggravated and swearing about something, in German, of course, which was his language. And he would stop himself suddenly and he would say, I am baptized. I don't know whether any of us would favor doing that, but it might not be a bad idea. The point is to remember your life's promise, remembering what God has promised you. Remember that you have the Holy Spirit with you, as Jesus promised. And that Holy Spirit draws you toward wisdom with every step you take, even if you take a few steps backwards every now and then. Verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is kind of a rephrasing of the we are members of one another, which we found in verse 25, and it also is an echo of the Lord's Prayer. It kind of fleshes it out a little bit, showing actually how to forgive by being tender-hearted with those around you. Being sensitive to the feelings and circumstances of others. Try it once and you will want to try it again and again and again. It's a wise and wonderful choice. Finally, verse 1 in the adjacent chapter, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So we've made a full circle back to the words of King Solomon. I am just a child and have no understanding, and please give me wisdom, O God. Here, Paul is reminding us that just as Jesus was God's beloved child, so also are we. As Jesus made his way with wisdom and modeled that wisdom for us, so also we can walk in the way of Jesus. That's what being a Christian is. It's the nub of it. All the way you walk with Jesus, with wisdom and with love. In fact, as I read this passage several times, I have realized that wisdom is another word for love. And the passage ends with love. Verse 2 of chapter 5. Live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. At the time when I first returned to attending church, back in the spring of 2009, I was 65 years old. I had not gone to church in about 40 years. 40 years. 4 decades or more, actually. This was a Pentecostal church, and the service was held in a storefront. The pastor was a truck driver. So I walked in the door, and I went right up to the pastor to tell him who I was and everything, and to thank him for helping me, because they'd been helping me clear up the mess that my husband left for me to clear up. And they'd been very helpful, so I came to the church to thank them. Well, I went right up to the pastor, and I was talking to him, and I actually even leaned on him. Literally, I leaned on him. And somehow I said to him that as a child, many decades before that, I had prayed to Jesus. Well, he looked right in my eyes, and he said, seriously, he said, "He's been waiting for you all this time." That was the opening of my door. Well, apparently, that is what Jesus does. He waits. He waits. He embraces. He invites. He calls. He teaches. He shows us the way. He walks the way with us, having sent us the Holy Spirit to help out. And having received that gift of the Spirit, we walk in the way of wisdom and the way of love. Amen. Amen. I don't usually cover all of those. I don't usually go to the Bible and just cover the verses, but this was so good, I had to do it. Yes. Now, I think I will get back here. Being 80 years old, I'm a little wobbly, but I'm managing. This hymn because I love it so much, and I'm not very good at it, but we'll see what we can do.